Looking into the first 8 verses of Titus chapter 3 tonight. We have seen in the previous chapter that grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared, and it appeared to all men. And that grace that appeared to men teaches that we are to deny ungodliness, worldly lust. We are to live soberly and righteous, so forth, in this present world, with this hope in our hearts, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then he explains he's the one that gave himself for us to redeem us unto himself, purify a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And he said, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, that no man despise you. Now he takes up the subject again of what we're to do as believers. And in these verses that follow, we'll see what we are to be, we'll see what we were, and we'll see what God did for us. Let's read these first 8 verses. Put them in mind, to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, or no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly. They which believe in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And the idea is that if we're doing what we ought to do, it's profitable for us, but it's also profitable for other men. Do you realize tonight that if you or me or some other believer does not demonstrate the grace of God and tell somebody about Jesus Christ, that soul has no hope? It'd be profitable if we'd do what we ought to do for the sake of the souls of men. I want to deal with these 8 verses, just a few thoughts tonight that I hope will encourage us. We see, first of all, in verses 1 and 2, what we are to be and not to be. He pointed out that we are to be in subjection to principalities and powers and to obey magistrates. You'll notice in this, if you kind of catch the tenor of it, it starts up high and just comes down the line. And the idea is that we are responsible as believers to be submissive to the government that God has appointed, principalities. And in this case, Paul, of course, would be talking about Rome as the authority and the Caesar that's on the throne. Though we might not always agree with everything that's done by the power or the principality, but yet we are responsible to be civil and obedient as long as the laws of a land do not contradict the laws of God. When the laws of man contradict the laws of God, you always obey God's law. We studied this in our Bible study down in Somerset last week, just a little bit. Talked about how that when it comes time and the law contradicts the law of God, you always follow God's law. But also, on the other hand, you have to be willing to bear the consequences of breaking the law of the land. And sometimes it may cost you your life. You see, there are times that you take your stand, as Daniel did, when Darius signed the decree that nobody could petition any god or man for 30 days except Darius. When he signed that law, Daniel went home, opened his window toward Jerusalem, kneeled on his knees, and prayed 3 times a day as he had done aforetime. In other words, he did not change his conduct toward God because that was contradictory to the law of God. Now, he broke the law of the land, and the law of the land required that he be cast into the den of lions. Now, it was a miraculous preservation that God performed. But Daniel was willing to die for his convictions. But we, on the other hand, as long as the law of the land is not in contradiction to the law of God and demanding of us that we do something contrary to that law, the law of God, then we are to obey and be subject to principalities, then on come down to the, say, on a state level in our own government. We talk about a national level, a state level, and then a local level that we are to be submissive to and obedient to. And he said, in relation to that, to be ready to every good work. Now, the reason we don't want to live in rebellion and disobedience is because this will distract us from the things of God. As long as they're not contradicting the law of God, we are to be obedient, because the truth of the matter is that our citizenship is not in this world. We're here for a time, but we're looking at eternal values in our own lives. Therefore, we are to live peaceably on earth as much as possible. We're to pray for our leadership so that we be not hindered from the good things of God. And so we see here that there's some things that we are to do and be ready to do to every good work. Then he said, this is on a positive sense, that we are not to demonstrate some things in our life. We are not to speak evil of anybody. It does us no good to land blast somebody, as long as the circumstances are correct. Now, let me say this, there are times that we'll have to defend truth. And if somebody is advocating an error, then we have to stand for the truth and make that known. I mean, it would not be appropriate nor right to let evil persist, but just to be speaking evil of somebody just for the sake of gossip and just the opportunity, it serves no purpose in our lives. Quite the contrary, it makes us very negative about life whenever we look with downcast eyes upon everybody else. So he said, speak evil of no man. And we're not to be a brawler, be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Again, why? For the sake of their soul. Because men are going to die and they're going to face God. Paul, remember, said in the book of Romans, I'm debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for the sake of men. We don't have necessarily a monetary debt to this world, but we do have a moral and a, for lack of a better term, a religious obligation to this world. The commission is to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. You see, so we do have an obligation. We have an indebtedness in a sense to men. We heard the gospel. We're indebted to see that others have the opportunity to hear the gospel. I always am thankful when I look back with just the thought of yesteryear, and I'm grateful for the men of God and the people. Not necessarily men that just stood in the pulpit, but other people that were willing to share the Word of God with me, that were willing to encourage me along the pilgrim way, come up much like Moses' helper, just pick his arms up now and then. Thank God for folks that took to heart the fact that they wanted to, for my sake, take up the burden and labor. And so you and I are to take up the burden and labor, showing all meekness unto all men. Now, he goes back and says, this is what we were. This is why we ought to do something, because we know what it is. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. I guess we'd all have to say amen, would we not? That when we look back into our past life, we were very foolish. It's foolish not to trust the Lord the first time we heard the gospel. But a lot of us were very foolish and walked away from that invitation, did we not? Thank God he extended another invitation. But if he had not, then we'd all be in hell tonight. But I present to you that this is where we're sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. I won't ask for a show of hands, but probably some of you have come out of false religion, come out from under some cult, an exposure there. We were deceived. Thank God for His grace and the truth that came. And serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Now, this is characteristic of the world today. You ever wonder why folks drive like they do? They drive very offensively, using the car to vent their wrath, because they're hateful and hating life itself. And the only thing that makes us different is the grace of God. And sometimes that's not enough, seems like, but it ought to be in our lives. So I present to you what we were. And now Paul will take some time and point out what God did for us. Look with me in verse 4. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, there is here the idea, the thought, that first of all, it's not anything that we have done. It's not by our works of righteousness, but it is by the very work of regeneration, the very work of the Spirit of God, as He's made us new. And then He said the renewing of the Holy Ghost. In other words, we now are in company with God, where before we were in company with this world and lost and in darkness and away from God. Now, we have the privilege of walking with God. And points out that He renewed the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I don't want to develop this just from a doctrinal standpoint, but I want you to know that the reason the Spirit of God lives in us and moves in us and fills us is because Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to buy that blessed privilege for us today. The Spirit of God would not come, would not dwell in us, were it not for the cleansing blood of God's own Son. And so we have then this that God has done for us, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And certainly, justified by His grace, then there beats within my bosom this heart of hope. I have eternal life. I pillow my head tonight. I can say with David, I lay me down, I slept, I wake. The Lord sustained me. I may wake here, I may wake on the other side. But God will sustain me either way. I'm in the seat of grace. And so we have that hope in our hearts and in our lives. Whether we live here or live there, it's eternal. And one day, of course, we'll all cross over. But understanding this, that really it makes no difference whether we wake up here or we wake up there, because we have this hope in our hearts, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then he sums it up in verse 8. And I just put in this, just this note, summed up. Listen to it. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Now you see, the burden lies upon us. These things are good and profitable unto men. What if we live contrary to this? Then it apparently is unprofitable to men. We have to assume the opposite. So if we have believed in God, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to be careful to maintain good works that will bring us into a position of privilege of witness to some lost soul that might be just as lost as we were, just as foolish, just as disobedient, serving the lusts of this world and living without God, without having any mercy in their life. And you and I are the instrument designed of God as newborn babes in Christ, growing up into maturity to present that which God has done for us, that others as well might have hope.